Like what you hear? You can access exclusive content and other perks at patreon.com/theunionedge.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to The Union Edge, Labor's Talk Radio. Thank you for tuning in. We enjoy your company. We appreciate you hanging out with us for the afternoon. That's for sure. Hey, this program is sponsored in part by the Operating Engineers Local 66 and IBEW Local 5, both of the Pittsburgh area. We appreciate their support very much. Joining me today, we've got Hedrick Smith. He is a Pulitzer Prize winner, formerly a reporter with the New York Times, and an Emmy Award-winning documentary producer for PBS and PBS Frontline. Hedrick, welcome back to the Union Edge.
It's great to be with you, Charlie. I hope we can get a few people to pick up some stuff on that website, reclaimtheamericandream.org.
You know, and this is a very important thing, and we've been talking about this here for a while, and quite honestly, Hedrick, you've been a little bit prophetic. You know, gerrymandering is getting beat back. You know, we got a lot of good people out there, the League of Women Voters and other organizations out there fighting the good fight on a daily basis. And what just happened in North Carolina?
Well, I got to tell you, I appreciate your comment because I have been following this gerrymander fight all over the country on the website for a couple of years now, and you're starting to see a lot of action. Not just a little bit of action, but a lot of action. Literally yesterday in North Carolina, a three-judge federal court said that the North Carolina Republican legislature in 2011 and then again in 2016 when they revised the maps for the congressional district had done it on such a partisan basis that it was unconstitutional, violated the First and 14th Amendment rights of Democratic voters, and they're not fooling around. The court gave the legislature 2 weeks to redraw the maps, and they appointed a special magistrate, what they call that, a special master, to draw up a map himself. So in case the legislature doesn't do a very serious job, the court is moving to be in a position where it can impose the maps. Now, why is that important? 10-3 is the Republican advantage among the congressional seats in North Carolina. 13 seats, 10 Republican, 3 Democrat. The public popular vote in the state year in and year out is very close to 50-50. It sometimes gets to 51-49, occasionally 52-48. And even when it's been 51-49 for the Democrats, the Republicans have walked away with 9 of the seats to 4 of the Democrats, to 4 for the Democrats because of gerrymandering, because of the way they drew the maps. So if the court imposes a new map that is in fact fairer, where the district lines are drawn in a more rational way that is not designed to give the Republicans a lock on 10 districts, you could see 2 or 3 seats become more competitive. That doesn't guarantee the Democrats will win them, but it means they got a shot at it, and that's important. And you got something similar going on in the state of Pennsylvania right now.
Right,
you've got,
exactly.
You've got 2 cases. You got one in the state court, which has now gone to the Supreme Court in your state, and you got another one in the federal courts. If the federal court does the same thing in Pennsylvania as it has just done in North Carolina, now it's a different court, different justices, so there could be a different ruling, but and the facts may be slightly different. But you've got a tilt up there in Pennsylvania where, once again, the vote is fairly close to 50-50. It varies a little bit, but not much.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got 13 Republican seats and 5 Democratic seats. And Daylon Leach, one of your state senators, took the statistics from the 2012 election, where the Democrats actually won the popular vote statewide for Congress, but Republicans got 13 seats and Democrats got 5. Daylon Leach took the same votes, and he just drew the lines differently, and he came out with 13 Democratic seats and 5 Republican seats. So that illustrates that the way you draw the lines really does swing the election.
Right, so and Hedrick, let's talk about this for 1 second. Because one of the things that I've been concerned about for as long as we've been talking about this and longer is I don't want one side or the other to unfairly draw these seats. I want them drawn as close to, as equal, as and as fair as possible. I don't want either side playing this back and forth after every census. How do we get to that?
Well, you're absolutely right. I mean, the point of fixing redistricting is not, I mean, it may not be, this may not be true for Democratic politicians or Republican politicians, but from the voter's standpoint, what you want is competitive districts where you have a choice. What you want is exactly what you said, where if you could have Solomon, you know, King Solomon, not cut the baby in half, but draw the lines of your districts and try to draw them fairly, you'd have, you know, you'd have some districts where the Democrats, because of the way people live, go Democratic, and some in rural areas go Republican, but you'd have many more that were actually up for grabs. And that's the ideal situation from the standpoint of voters. Well, there are two ways to do that. One way, which is being done in a bunch of states, is to have the an independent commission appointed where it's not the legislature, it's not the politicians who are doing it. And part of that depends upon how truly independent the commission is. But you've got independent commissions now in about 9 or 10 states. In California, there's a very complicated process, so politics don't affect it much. You know, in other states like Ohio, where you have it with the state legislature, the governor and the leaders of the legislature appoint the members of the commission. So it's not that independent. But the idea is the further away you get it from office holders, the more likely you're going to get something fair. In Colorado this year, they're pushing the idea of a 12-member commission, four Republicans, four Democrats, four independents, and for any plan to pass, it has to have a majority, including at least one independent and one member of every party. So they're trying to force the commission to draw the maps in a fair way. So there are various different people who've come up with that. That's one way to do it. The other way to do it is what they did in Florida. They passed a referendum back in 2010 that said it is unconstitutional to draw the maps with the intent to favor one party over the other. Well, the Republican legislature in Florida ignored that, and Common Cause and League of Women Voters and some other groups, Fair Districts Florida, took them to court, and they got a ruling from the state Supreme Court that threw out 8 of the congressional districts as being unconstitutional and threw out the entire map for the state Senate, and the maps had to be redrawn. And once again, as in the North Carolina case, in the end, the court wound up by imposing maps on the state. So one way to do it is to state a standard in the law or in your state constitution and let the courts enforce it. The other way to do it is to set up an independent commission. And but it is happening. I mean, yeah, Charles, this is going on now. This is a wonderful thing.
This is absolutely a wonderful thing, and I am so glad that you have been a herald for this, and I am so glad that many others have been fighting this tooth and nail because it's very important that we do this. But let me ask you this. I mean, the point of getting politicians back into districts where they're not considered safe because the way they've been drawn means that the politicians have to listen to the voters, they have to listen to the constituents, and it reduces the value of those people writing big checks for $110,000 or $100,000, doesn't it?
Yeah, there's no question about it. You know, one of the things people, I go around and give talks about American politics and that kind of stuff, and one of the questions I always get is, what do I think about term limits? Why don't we have term limits to force people out of office? Well, if you have competitive districts, if you don't have gerrymandered districts, that has the effect of term limits. What it means is the politician has got to go back and win the confidence of the electorate. So that if you have Democrats in districts and they're going with Obama on his policies and the public doesn't like it, they can vote him out. Or if you got Republicans in and the public doesn't like what Trump is doing, they can vote him out. That is a term limit. But if you have a gerrymandered district, even if people are unhappy, the way the district lines are drawn, you know, you can't throw them out. I was just looking, since you and I talked a few minutes ago, I was looking at the district of Bill Schuster, no, of Lou Barletta. Now, you've got
Lou Barletta, yeah.
You've got three Republican congressmen who've announced they're going to retire this year. They're not going to seek re-election. Bill Schuster in the 9th district, Lou Barletta in the 11th, and Charlie Dent in the 15th. The 11th district is really a wild district. It goes from way up in the northeastern part of the state and stretches way over down towards the center part of the state. And the reason is it's drawn in a way, so you've got a belt of slightly pro-Republican voters, about a 58% majority of Republican voters that vote pretty regularly there. So that's been a very safe district for Bill Shuster. If that district were drawn in a different shape and it was connected with some suburbs and had a couple more towns in it, that might be a much more competitive district. You know, if you go then look at the district right. of Charlie Dent, in the 15th, up around Allentown and so forth. I mean, he's been winning that narrowly. He's a more moderate Republican, less conservative, say, than Shuster or Barletta. You know, it's a much more competitive district, and when he decides to step out, then there's going to be a real race. And that's part of what's going on right. around the country. And whether or not the districts are drawn fairly makes a huge difference, because even if these guys retire, but there's a huge Republican advantage in them, or conversely, in the city of Pittsburgh or the center of Philadelphia, a huge Democratic advantage, there's no competition. There's very little pressure on the politicians either way to listen to the public. Once they get in office, you know, they're incumbents. They've got a tremendous advantage in name recognition, raising money, and they sit on top of things. And they're not getting what you were talking about, the challenge of having to go back to the voters and renew their mandate, renew the public's confidence in them. And that's what's important about gerrymandering. It forces that to happen. I mean, the gerrymander reform, it forces that to happen. It forces them to to behave better and to listen to the voters.
Absolutely. Listen, Hedrick, we need to take a short break. We'll come back. We'll talk some more. We'll continue to educate the public and see what we can do to make this whole process just a little bit more righteous. In the meantime, I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborist Talk Radio.
Human trafficking is considered the fastest growing crime, and advocates in Ohio say they are more committed than ever to ending it. Ohio ranks fourth among states for calls made to the National Human Trafficking Hotline, with 375 trafficking cases reported in 2016. State Representative Teresa Fetter has worked for years to shed light on the problem, which she sees as the human rights issue of our lifetime. Because human trafficking occurs behind closed doors, she says better awareness and understanding are the key.
It's through education, period, that we begin to see the underbelly of what's really happening in the dark corners of our culture. And I believe it could be this generation that says enough.
Fetter is co-hosting today's 9th annual Human Trafficking Day of Awareness at the State House. Survivors of human trafficking will be on hand to share their stories with hundreds of people from law enforcement, the justice system, educational institutions, social service agencies, and other advocacy organizations. Fetter notes there are many factors that make human trafficking a pervasive problem.
The lack of education, the lack of jobs, our laws not being current to address this, policies not addressing homelessness, mental health, child abuse, and all those issues that really challenge our culture to do the right thing in raising children and having a safe community.
Fetter says the Ohio Human Trafficking Task Force has engaged almost every aspect of government on the issue to ensure victims and survivors receive support and that offenders are brought to justice. She adds that understanding that victims are not criminals has been key in their work.
It's so important to make sure that we have the adequate laws in place to fight this. And I have another bill, House Bill 461, will increase the penalties for traffickers who traffic 16 and 17-year-olds, and basically it mirrors the federal level.
Tomorrow, hundreds of students will attend the second annual Human Trafficking Youth Prevention Summit at the State House. This is Mary Sherman, Ohio News Connection.
Somos la Unión Internacional de los Panaderos, Confiteros y Trabajadores de Tabaco y los Molineros de Grano luchando por los trabajos americanos. Nabisco, fabricante de marcas icónicas como el Oreo, Ritz Crackers y Chips Ahoy, ha ganado la fortuna en América y su respuesta patriótica ha sido enviar los trabajos americanos a México. Como resultado, los consumidores en los Estados Unidos siguen boicoteando los productos hechos en México. Ingresos corporativos han bajado escuchado en todo Norteamericana. Los consumidores están enviando un mensaje muy fuerte y claro. Ahora los líderes religiosos de todas las religiones a través de los Estados Unidos están pidiendo una investigación del modelo de negocio de Nabisco y han programado un tour de 6 ciudades para investigar el asunto de manera más profunda. En el mismo momento en que las negociaciones de NAFTA están en la mente de todos, la comunidad religiosa comenzará a hablar de los trabajadores, los políticos y otros líderes religiosos con la intención de discutir el exilio de trabajos por Nabisco desde una perspectiva moral y ética y publicarán ampliamente sus hallazgos. El BCTGM y su socio Justicia Obrera Interconfesional piden a toda la gente de fe y conciencia social que se unan a esta lucha contra la explotación por Nabisco de trabajadores en los Estados Unidos y México. Millones ya están boicoteando los productos de Nabisco hechos en México y ya está afectando sus ganancias de la empresa. Únase a nuestra lucha por la justicia moral y económica. Únase a nosotros en www.fightforamericanjobs.com. www.fightforamericanjobs.com.
Like what you hear? You can access exclusive content and other perks at patreon.com/theunionedge.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to The Union Edge, Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you very much for tuning in. We enjoy your company. We appreciate all the great things you're doing for the company.
Country.
Community. That too. You would think I talk for a living sometimes. Hey, this program is sponsored in part by AppletreeMediaWorks.com and the International Brotherhood of Teamsters. We appreciate their support. Joining us today, we've got Hedrick Smith. Hedrick, welcome back.
Thanks, Charles. Good to be with you.
Always a pleasure. Hedrick, before I forget, your website.
ReclaimTheAmericanDream.org. ReclaimTheAmericanDream.org is committed to bringing information about political and economic reform to people all across the country. It's a journalistic site. It's nonpartisan, but I'm interested in what people are doing to try to fix the lopsided tilt in the economy and the stacking of elections, either through money or gerrymandering.
Right. You know, I mean, one of the reasons why the colonies here in North America decided that they no longer wanted to be under British rule was taxation without representation. And, you know, quite honestly, we are seeing that more and more these days, you know, with things, money is speech and, you know, people can donate as much money as they want to political campaigns. Gerrymandering, politicians not even bothering to care or even pretend to care what their constituents say. They're more concerned about what those big the people writing those big checks say. And there are a lot of people out there today that feel that they're not being represented by Congress. They're not being represented by their elected officials. And quite frankly, they're tired of it. And that's why we're seeing things like pushback against gerrymandering through the League of Women Voters, organizations like your website and others. It works. I mean, people are getting, you know, taking care of these issues and working them out.
That's what's astonishing. What's astonishing and what's not known is that, in fact, there are political reforms going on in this country. You know, if you look at the polls, and Charles, it's no secret, you can go back over the last 10 or 15 years, and practically every poll where these questions are asked, 70 or 80% of the people will say our political system is broken. I've seen some polls that say where the number is over 90% of the public says, our political system is broken, and that goes for Republicans, Independents, Democrats, Greens, Libertarians, I don't care who it is, across the board. But the next comment is from about 90% of them is there's nothing you can do about it. It's stacked. Special interests have too much power. Lobbyists have too much power in Washington. Money has taken over the system. Wall Street and the major corporations have captured Congress. They bought the campaigns and so forth. A lot of those comments are accurate. But it's the hopelessness and the sense of being powerless that concerns me and that I think is not accurate. If you look at our website, but if you look at other places as well, the Brennan Institute at New York University Law School, what you'll see is that in half of our states, in 25 of the 50 states, there is a reform movement going on to change gerrymandering, this partisan drawing of the district lines of elections that wind up by stacking the districts. There are four or five states that have systems of public funding of campaigns. There are probably 10 or 12 states, that, or maybe more, 17 states that are doing things that will make voting registration and voting easier. The motor voter law, when you go to renew your driver's license, you get your voting registration automatically renewed. That's very important because in lots of cases, people move. They move from one city to another. They move from one street to another, and they don't realize it. But when they move, if they don't re-register to vote, their voter registration has expired. But if they renew their driver's license, it automatically gets picked up. And in some states like Oregon and Illinois and, believe it or not, West Virginia, if you sign up for certain programs in the state, if you're a student at a state public university, if you sign up for some of the welfare programs and so forth, it works like the motor voter law. They also renew your voter registration. So they're making it easier for people. And there are other states that are doing exactly the opposite. They're putting in tough photo ID laws. They're making it more difficult. And that falls hard on minorities, falls hard on students, it falls hard on seniors, and that kind of stuff. So there's a fight going on in the country over are you going to make it easier or not. But the point is there are states that are working on all of these issues, gerrymander reform, rolling back Citizens United, voting rights, public funding of campaigns, all those things are going on. And I don't think that the mainstream media is giving that much attention. If there's a story or a judicial decision or something like that, it's a one-day story and it disappears. But the notion that there are trends going on and there's a fight going on, well, I mentioned, I think, once before, you're practically surrounded by it. Over there in Ohio, there's a petition drive going on right now for gerrymander reform in that state. They passed gerrymander reform for state legislative districts. Now they're passing it for state congressional districts. It's happening in Michigan. It's happening in Missouri. So this is going on. And I think if more people knew that, more people would say, well, heck, if they can do it in their state, why we can do it in ours as well. And this year it's going to be very important because there are several studies out. I mentioned before the Brennan Institute at New York University Law School. They took a look at the gerrymandering that took place after the 2010 census. We always have a census every 10 years, and then after that, the lines of the election districts and the apportionment of seats in Congress has to be redone because population moves around. Some states pick up seats, some states lose seats, and so forth. Same thing is true of certain congressional districts. They took a look at what happened, and what they said was the Republicans, both Democrats and Republicans, do gerrymandering. It's not one party or the other. Both parties do it. But the Republicans were much more successful doing it after 2010 and the 2011 legislative sessions. And these outside experts estimated that the Republicans gained a bonus advantage of 16 to 18 seats because of the way they drew the lines. 16 to 18 seats above and beyond the value of the popular vote that they won. So Democrats are up against it. They're looking to try to regain control of the Congress in the 2018 election. They're encouraged. There are a fair number, 30 Republicans in the House have decided not to run again. 15 Democrats have done the same thing, but more Republicans have opted out. Charlie Dent is one of them.
Hedrick, we are running out of time, and I appreciate you being with us. We are always running out of time when you're on because it's so exciting. how do we find out more, and how do we find your website?
Well, the website's easy. ReclaimTheAmericanDream.com. All one word, .org, excuse me, .org. ReclaimTheAmericanDream.org. And then if you go there, there's a section on progress reports on gerrymandering. There's stuff on voting rights. There's stuff on public funding. There's stuff on disclosing dark money. Each one of those has got its own progress report, its own success story, reading list, organizations you can go to. I don't care about organizing this myself. I just want to give the – it's a cafeteria. It's an informational cafeteria.
We got to go. Hedrick, we appreciate your time, and we will talk to you again soon. In the meantime, I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio.
Like what you hear? You can access exclusive content and other perks at patreon.com/theunionedge.